Thank you for coming. I had a extremely long week, and in many ways it was a very difficult week. But in many other ways, it was a week full of triumphs. The only time that I've ever told my father, "No, I cannot do this thing," was when he asked me to be principal of the school. We were in a tough spot, and I always back his play, but I just couldn't see myself in that role. I have my strengths and weaknesses, and one of my main weaknesses is dealing with disgruntled parents. I give them short shrift, so to speak. And so I love being a teacher, but one of my most difficult times is parent-teacher conferences. Because when we're talking about our own children, it's hard for us to see clearly. So I can see that in other ways. And so I was kind of dreading it, and it was causing me anxiety and kind of caused me to worry more than I should. However, the Lord has helped me in the past few years to overcome many things that I used to feel were insurmountable. And it's because of that that I continue to have hope for the future. And it's important, I believe, to recognize that growth in yourself. The coaching of the girls' volleyball team this year was very difficult for me. We lost nearly every game, and the girls were down on themselves, and we had the award ceremony, and nearly everybody didn't show up. There was like three or four girls that came, and it was like the quietest, most awkward party you've ever been to, if you could even call it that. And in the past, I would have just suffered through the whole thing. But the Lord has helped me. I've grown in that way. That I was able to exist and behave and experience something in the past that was so painful for me that now it seemed much smaller. And that makes sense. I'm going to back up from the mic a little bit here. I can never tell how loud I'm being. I'm going to give. Hey, come on in, Jude. Yes. He works in mysterious ways, Mole. Next week, I wanted to talk about gratitude and how important I think it is. And in that, I think it's important to look back and kind of measure your spiritual progress, as it were. I do not know what will happen to this place, to me or to anyone else, but I do know this: the growth that I've had in my own life is so important to me that it's worth it. That it's worth the time, it's worth the effort, it's worth the energy to work on myself, to pray, to be honest with myself, to grow. We get so caught up about spreading the gospel and saving souls and this and that and the other. But the tangible rewards that you can get in your own life are that's the real good news. Sorry, Steve, I'm hearing like a lot of reverb. Am I losing my mind? Okay. It's distracting me. Anyhow, the issue is recontextualizing how you view yourself and view your spiritual journey. Don't allow yourself to get bogged down or to think of all of the ways in which you're failing. Give thanks and let those past victories propel you forward. Anyhow, that was just a little thing that I had. That was occurring to me. So we're going to start off with a Bible verse. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22. And we'll start a little early. Matthew chapter 14. It's right after Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. I teach history at Redeemer Christian Academy, but I also teach science. The Abeka curriculum still teaches creationism. For those of you who are uninitiated, that's the idea that God created the earth and the universe and everything in it in 6 days, and then was extremely tired from this and went to sleep on the seventh. When I teach kind of that chapter, I try to be very vague, because I don't think that God created everything in 6 days. First of all, a few questions. If we're talking about days, are we talking about 24 hours, one rotation of the earth? Well, the universe is so large, right? If you counted up every grain of sand on the entire surface of the planet, there are more stars than grains of sand on every beach and desert on the whole planet, right? And each one of those stars has planets, or most of them have planets, could have multiple planets. A day on Mars is not 24 hours. So did God use 24 Earth hours, one Earth day? Did he use one Mars day? You understand what I'm saying? The idea that the creator of the cosmos, of all that is, woke up, created something, and then went to bed is the most juvenile explanation for something that I could possibly think of. Is it possible that a being that existed before time or space maybe doesn't judge time in the same way that we do, right? So creation, however it happened, how could we explain it? I believe that science is the way that we explain it. In the past, science and religion were juxtaposed. Galileo was put on house arrest and forced to change his book because of this very thing. The reason I'm saying all this is I believe that in the future, as human beings continue to grow in our potential, we will learn to understand all of the things that Jesus did, both in a spiritual context, but also in a scientific, physical context. And Dad had a good way of looking at this, and that always resonated with me. You know, like when somebody goes to heaven, we think of like in the clouds, and we think of like hell as in the lava. But I believe that heaven is a realm, right? It's like another universe. And science has since determined that there are multiple universes and even infinite universes. And so when we talk about Jesus walking on the water, I remember this sermon clearly, because Dad talked about how Jesus is the Son of God and the Christ could pass between the earthly physical realm and the heavenly spiritual realm. And so when he's walking on water, he's not standing on waves. I remember Greg Hutchinson, shout out, love him, had a shirt one time, and it was Jesus in a robe, and he was surfing on a wave, but there was no, like, there was no board, because he could walk on water, so he's just like, you know, Shaka or whatever, like surfing because he can walk on the water, and I always thought that was very clever. But we don't think that Jesus, as he was walking on water, there was a storm with all these waves, that he was stumbling on the waves. He was walking on the border between the physical and spiritual realm. And that's why as he's passing, when the disciples see him, they think he's a ghost. Well, why would they think he's a ghost? They see this guy every single day. They eat with him. They drink with him. They lay down next to him. But now all of a sudden he's a ghost. It's because he doesn't appear the way he normally did, because he was phased in between realms. Just because we don't understand yet how it's done doesn't mean that it's not done. Doesn't mean that there's not an explanation. Science will explain the existence of God. Just because we don't know it now doesn't mean that it cannot be known. So I try and explain this to my students to have heart, to not be afraid, right? If whatever new discoveries, whatever wherever your journey takes you does not disprove the nature of God or the nature of our Holy Spirit and soul, it will be explained. That's not what even the sermon's about, but we're going to make it short. So, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountains by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were afraid, they were terrified, and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. All those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." When they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. Peter's not always the sharpest tool in the shed, but he's a man of action. And what I wanted to speak about today is taking action. So much of our lives happen on accident. So many of us live in a reactionary posture. Things happen and we react to them. Bad news pops up and we react to it. Good news pops up and we react to it. But the gospel is about listening to the Holy Spirit and choosing how to act. The Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," but we have to go and open the door. It's a conscious decision that we make using the awareness of the Holy Spirit. Our lives need to be consciously driven. So much of people's existence and pain is because they allow themselves to be dictated to by the world. There are things we cannot control, but we can control how we react to them. The Holy Spirit can lead us into peace if we are following Him, so that even bad news can be greeted with strength and courage and determination. When my father passed, I remember distinctly driving home from the hospital with my sister, and she said, "Gabe, will we ever be happy again?" At the time, it seemed so bleak and so miserable. The idea of being able to laugh again seemed so far away. And we couldn't control any of the things that led us there, but we can control how we react to it. We could have easily walked away from the church. We could have easily let everything fall apart and wallow in our own misery at the injustice of the world. But that's not the Holy Spirit. The pain and misery that comes, the Holy Spirit gives us a boon. It grants us energy to counteract the plans of the devil. "You cannot hurt me anymore. I won't allow it. I choose to, instead of think about how unfair it is that I lost my father, I choose to behave in a way that honors him. That's my choice. He can't take it away. I decide. I take it. My choice." Jesus says, "Come out and walk on water." And I could look, "Oh, sink, the wind." I choose to step out. Let the others, let the dead bury the dead. I follow him wherever he leads me to go. I choose daily to do it. We can't be bound anymore by our fears. We can't be bound anymore by our what ifs. Jesus says, God has anointed me to proclaim release to the captives. I've been captive for too long. I got to break out, dude. I got to get out. I'm not going to let him torture me with fear. Well, what will the parents say when you suck at coaching and we lose every game? I don't care. I choose to do the best I can. I cannot control what they're going to do. I can only control how I live my life, and I'm going to live it the best that I can for me. I'm going to step out on the water. We cannot live passively. We cannot let life happen to us. The thief comes in the night to steal. He's stealing our time. He's stealing our relationships. He's stealing our joy and our peace. I'm not going to let him do it anymore. I'm going to take it back. I'm going to choose to follow the one who will lead me. It's uplifting. It's infinite. It's encouraging. There's no end to it. Doesn't matter if you're 100 or 15. You can choose to live your life. I tell my students all the time, the saddest thing is a life lived on accident. I lived so much of my life just like bumbling around like an idiot. Just thinking to myself, oh, what are you going to do? It is what it is, right? We just give ourselves excuses to continue wandering around like a zombie. It must be a purposeful choice. We're created in his image to be able to do that. A dog can't help it. You throw the stick, the dog has to chase it. I'm a human. I choose whether or not to chase the stick. So yes, I will go get it, but only because I chose to do it. It separates us. It's what makes us like him. God decided to create, and then it is created. I decide how I live my life. You decide how you live your life. There's so much pressure and stress in the world. There's so many things that would scare us, that would intimidate us, that would anger us, infuriate us. But it's up to us whether or not we allow it to affect us in that way. I have a friend who's on Instagram and all kinds of different social media, and she spends all of her time interacting with people on political issues. And she's creating this life where she's miserable because she's always worried and always trying to convince other people. It's never going to work. It's never going to work. You choose how you live your life. Good things, blessings will come. Hardships, trials, and tribulations will come. It's up to you to decide how you react to them. We lose people along the way. One day we may be able to save them. But right now, it's up to me to decide how I act in the face of that. The parent-teacher conferences, they're happening no matter what, Gabe. You can be miserable, or you can choose to listen to the Holy Spirit, because he's not going to tell you to be stressed out or worried or scared. So I can always take solace in the fact that I've got backup, I got reinforcements, I've got the ultimate weapon. But it's up to me to decide how I work with that. So much of the world gives themselves excuses to continue being miserable. Young people who hear the word of the Holy Spirit, but they think that it's more fun to do X, Y, Z. And so they use cynicism to excuse their bad behavior. I'm going to raise my hand. That was me. I knew it because the Holy Spirit was telling me. Smoking's bad for you, Gabe. I'm not an idiot. I knew it was bad for me. I did it anyways. I excused myself. There's difficult people in the world, and you can be justifiably angry at them, but you will be the one in misery. Don't give yourself the excuse. Choose how you're going to act. That difficult person in your life, choose, I am consciously going to love them because the Lord tells me to love them. And the Lord is never wrong. He's never wrong. He's the North Star. He always points to the right direction if you are honestly seeking Him. I had a parent for 2 hours yesterday talking to me about all of the things that were wrong and all the things that were bad. They're good people trying to live their lives, but they were not aware of the way that they were behaving. And they were caught up in this misery. You understand what I'm saying? They were stressed out. They were angry. But they couldn't see it. So they were living in this world, reacting to all of these negative things they were perceiving. And when they were doing that, I began to get annoyed and frustrated with them. And in the past, I probably would have blown up and said something to them. But because I've been focusing and working on myself, making that decision to pray every day, I was able to hear the Holy Spirit a little bit better than I would have yesterday. And the Holy Spirit was able to guide me and remind me, you must be patient with them, Gabriel, for you, for your own life, for your own mental well-being, for your own happiness. You understand? So making that decision to do that, even though it was difficult at first, once I was able to consciously make that decision, I then got the ease of the peace of mind because I could see the situation for what it was. A good person trying to do a good thing in a bad way because they were frustrated. I got the freedom. They didn't. And if I had said something to them, if I had tried to point out the error of their ways, been like, well, actually, you're way out of line right now, and I think you're not seeing things clearly because it involves your child. Do you think they would be able to receive that? Probably not. Because that's not my business. My business is not correcting their behavior. My business is correcting my behavior. My business is when the Lord says, step out on the water, I step. I don't ask why, I don't ask how far, I don't ask for how long. The Lord leads me in grace, in peace, in patience, in kindness, in goodness, in gentleness, in faithfulness, in self-control. My righteous indignation. Understand, it's not for them. The decisions we make are for us. The Holy Spirit is for me. It is for you. It is handcrafted for you. Your trials and tribulations are not the same as mine. Your strengths and weaknesses are not the same as mine. So the Holy Spirit must work for you differently than it does work for me. And that's why Jesus says, it's better that I go. Because there will be a handcrafted, specifically for each one of you, to fit in your little puzzle pieces, to lead you into all the truth. If you're willing to listen and follow, if you're willing to take that action. It's so liberating. I must confess, my kids can tell you this, I don't always live and peace and patience and grace. But when I do, it's like there's no roof. There's no limit. There's no boundary to what I can be. There's no worry about what will happen. Because no matter what, it doesn't matter what will happen. It does not matter what will happen, because Jesus will say, walk, and I will walk. If the asteroid's coming to destroy the planet, I'm going to walk. If they come to take my house, I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk. Not for them, not for him, for me, because he will lead me. He will lead me. It's better for you that I go. Oh, yeah. What do you know? Everything. Listen to him. Follow him in all of your... It's so simple, yet so hard. You would think that life would be... It's so beautiful out there. And yet so many of us, we just choose to focus on the bad. We choose to focus on the stress. Wonderful kids, wonderful house, wonderful wife. Yeah, but my job sucks. And you lose everything else. And you didn't even make that decision consciously. The devil just whispered it into your mind. And you're like, yeah, that's right. I have a wonderful position where I'm able to commune with such lovely people. I have awesome children. I live in a peaceful, beautiful city. I can have anything that I want. But the devil whispered to me about these text messages that I was getting. Such a small thing that could envelop my whole world. And how many times throughout my life would I have let that happen? How many times does somebody living a wonderful life in a beautiful city, and then somebody cuts them off, and now their whole existence has become this one person and the injustice of having to wait 5 extra seconds, and they lose everything? Job doesn't matter, wife doesn't matter, kids don't matter. Can you believe what this person did to me? It's our decision to choose the way we exist. You can't choose if you lose your father, but you can choose how you react to it. You can't choose what letters you receive in the mail, but you can choose how you react to them. The Lord is calling all of us, all of them, even if they don't believe it. Just because you don't believe in Mars doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's still there. He's calling all of us, come out and walk. But we're just afraid, we're shook, we're bound up. We're chained up in our fears. We're chained up in our regret. We're chained up in our covetousness. We're chained up. God has anointed me to proclaim release to the captives. That's true, and yet so many of us remain chained up. Pray. Think. Be diligent. He will reveal them to you. And once you're aware of the chains, you can break them. Because there's nothing that can hold you back. There's nothing that can keep you down if you're willing to follow the voice. This Thanksgiving season, give thanks. Don't let family members or cynicism or any of those other things blind you. You may think, well, I don't have that house, or I don't have that car, or I don't have that wife, or I don't have this. You have the Holy Spirit, and that's all that you need to lead you into peace and happiness. Don't believe it for me. Believe it for you, because he will lead you. There was a time when I was younger and people said, oh, your dad's a pastor, I guess one day you'll be a pastor. And I didn't know that it was the fear inside of me that caused me to react the way that I did. And I was like, oh, no way, man. He's the holy one. You see the lie? Imagine I had continued to listen to that lie. How I would be held back. The lie said, he's this and I'm this. And this is the way it's been, and this is the way that it always will be. But it's not. I didn't even realize the fear that I had about not living up to him. The fear that I had about what will people say. The lies of the enemy that I used to justify my own bad behavior. And I was the one who reaped all of the consequences. It wasn't until I was able to focus in, to listen, to analyze my life, my behavior, my actions. The awareness of the Holy Spirit laid bare the chains. And once I knew they were there, I broke them. They're gone. They can't hold me back anymore. They don't have any power. I'm no longer captive. I'm not a prisoner anymore. He opens the door, but I gotta walk through. He opens the door, but you gotta walk through. Walk through. It's glorious, dude. I'm telling you. It's so good. My circumstances have not changed one bit. I still miss him. I still live in the same house. I still drive the same car. I still live the same life. The only thing that has changed is I have been willing to listen. And in that listening, I've been able to break those bonds. But there's other chains. All these chains. Ebenezer Scrooge's buddy. You remember that? Excellent, Gabe. Stuck to landing. So many chains left to break. I can't see them now. But if I'm diligent, if I'm working, if I decide every day to consciously choose how I'm going to live, constantly trying to listen to the compelling of the Holy Spirit, the witness that tells me, doesn't matter if the water's stormy, doesn't matter if the water's murky, it doesn't matter if the waves are huge. When Jesus tells you to step out, do it. Step out. He will guide you. He will be faithful to hold you. And he'll lead you into the peace. You don't realize how afraid you are until you're not afraid anymore. You don't realize how angry you were until you're not angry anymore. You don't realize all of the things that have held you back until you're not held back anymore. Take it. It's yours. It's at hand. It's right there. Be consciously aware of the excuses that you make. Be consciously aware of the lies that the enemy tells. If you're thinking and analyzing and aware of your life, and you realize you are not living with humble, compassionate, loving desires in your heart, be faithful to get them out. Not for them, for you. Those are the chains that are holding you back. Your spouse's chains aren't the ones you need to worry about. Your coworker's chains, you don't need to worry about those. Worry about your own chains and get free. Get free. Get free. It's not a new job that'll get you free. It's not a new person that'll get you free. It's not a better car that'll get you free. All those things are great. But it's awareness of the Holy Spirit that'll get you free. Money can't buy happiness, but if you're already happy, money's awesome. Break the chains. Step forward. Have courage. Have courage. Have courage. Have courage this week. Have courage this week. In your parent-teacher conferences, and your emails and letters and your jobs and your relationships. Have courage. Take action. Move forward. Do not worry about the things that could hurt you. Concern yourself with the thing that protects you, and you will be bulletproof. Falls off. The chains fall off. I step forward. Every day I step forward. Every single day I step forward. My kids will see it. And they'll stop being so mean to me. I'm just joking. I always got to tease my kids when they're in here. I cannot tell you how grateful I am to you and to this place. I pray for you, and I pray that you get as much out of this as I do. It is the good news of the gospel. It's so good. Be blessed this week. Be blessed. Be blessed in your jobs. Be blessed in your relationships. Be blessed in your workouts. But first and foremost, be blessed in your prayer time. That's where he comes. That's where he comes. You don't need to pray for 4 hours like Dad. Resolve to do it. Resolve to do it. It seems like a chore that you have to do. It's just like exercise. When you first start exercising, you're like, man, this sucks. But after you've done it for a while, you glory in it because of all of the goodness it gives you. The same thing is true for your prayer time. It'll seem like a chore at first. What's 10 minutes less of video games or sports or music or 10 minutes less of anything? Resolve to do it. And then be faithful to think about how far you've come so that you can say, I used to be wrapped up in the fear and misery of parent-teacher conferences, and now I'm free. He's broken the chains. I went to the world's cringiest, most awkward award ceremony on Saturday. The chains. Freedom. Freedom from the chains. It's good. It really is. I'll bow my head and we'll close. Lord, you are faithful. You are so faithful and you are so good. Help us this week, Lord. Help us to take action. Help us to be conscious of our decisions. Help us to have courage in those actions. Help us with our prayer times. Give us awareness of what you would have us do. Give us awareness of the next step to take. Lead us down the path. You say you're the way. Help us find you. Guide us. Manifest our chains so that we can see them and break them. Help us this week to be compassionate, to be grateful, to be loving, to be like you. Bring us back next week filled with your goodness, filled with good news. Help us this day and every day. Protect us and grow us. In Jesus' name, amen.